Hello and welcome to another ADHD-powered episode of Dave Wright's podcast. I'm your host, Dave Wright. As usual, I have another short story for you this week. Now, this week is another slice of lifey type take, and at the end I'll go over the story in more detail, so stick around if you're interested. But right now, let's get into it. This one's called Mikey. The timer dings next to my head, pulling me out of a dream where I was trying to explain to my dog why it's not cheating to pat other dogs. As consciousness slowly returns, I look around. Painfully white tiles, unfeeling little metal doors lining one wall, the overwhelming stench of industrial disinfectant. Ah, that's right. Time to let him out. Fighting my way out of the uncomfortable chair I'd fallen asleep in, Dr. Kim was too tight-fisted to buy anything nice. I made my way across the morgue to the array of drawers. Opening one, I slide out the tray inside with an old man's body on it, a sheet covering all but his head. Thumbing back the eyelids, nothing yet. I always set the alarm to wake me a bit before the 24-hour mark to avoid the almost bowel-emptying surprise I got when I had the timing wrong. Nothing gets the heart started like being shook awake by a cold hand in a silent morgue. Moving to the bench on the other side, I begin laying out the clothes I'd already picked out of our charity bin. Mikey is not a snappy dresser at the best of times, and he really doesn't care what he wears. Hell, he'd probably walk out of here naked if I let him. I thought for a moment about what would happen if someone saw a scarred, naked old man leaving a morgue late at night. I laughed to myself, that would be fantastic. Also, I don't need to see any more of his ding-dong than I already have, which is way too much for my liking. There's a stirring sound from the tray. Evening, Mikey, I call out without bothering to turn around. Wah, wah, is what I get in return. Like most old men, he takes a while to get going after waking up. I nod like I understand him and bring the clothes over and watch while he struggles to get upright. Hard to do on one of the trays, they were never designed for living people to be on them. Once he's dangling his legs off the side, I hand over the clothes. Here you go. What'd you do this time? He looks at me. Those icy blues could freeze a man to the spot. I've seen it happen. I just glance at the new scar that has now joined the network of others covering his body. I take a moment to feel pride at a job well done. I also reflect that humans are insane. We can get used to anything. Mikey snatches the clothes off me. Well, he tries to. It's like being assaulted by porridge. I let him have the clothes and return to my desk and start the process of erasing the fact that a corpse showed up here. I should have done this when he arrived, but Dr. Kim, the head of the morgue, was the one who admitted Mikey and would have noticed if I did it right away. After a few minutes, I'd finished, and so had Mikey, who had gotten control of his voice back.
Pint?
He asked. Pint, I agreed. Sitting across from the now fully ambulatory Mikey, I realized the clothes I'd picked for him looked absolutely ridiculous. I don't really try to coordinate his fashion or anything like that, but his old face was drooping and disappeared into a shirt so ruffled that even a flamboyant pirate would say, Nah, little too much lace for me, thanks. The pants were closer to pantaloons, billowing out the flares that Mikey had stuffed into well-worn steel-toed boots. Mikey didn't care, though. We cheered, and he sank half his pint in one go. I was much slower. Any idea what happened this time, Mikey? I inquired. I did look forward to our chats, even if it meant that he had to die for them. There was something formidable about him, an unbending strength that had nothing to do with the fact that he kept coming back to life. I wish I had known him before his new life as a zombie. He wiped the foam off his upper lip and sighed contentedly.
Not sure. I was looking into that rumor of a new drug, Flake, coming into the streets. I think I was somewhere down in the docks area. Where did they find my body?
Yeah, down there. Stab wound directly through the rib cage into your heart, I answered.
I remembered when this used to freak me out. The first time he came back to life, I was an intern at the morgue. I was working late in the morgue by myself when a knocking sound came from inside one of the cabinets. I didn't know much about working in a morgue back then, but I was damn sure you were not supposed to hear, "Excuse me," coming from the tray with the corpse you had sewn up earlier. I had mustered all my courage and opened the door to the tray. Coming face to face with the corpse of the old man I had worked on, well, I proceeded to bravely pass out on the floor. That was how we met. Neither Mikey nor I know what the hell is going on with him. His body is exactly the same like anyone else. It's just that now, no matter how he dies, he always springs back to life after 24 hours exactly. It's become our routine as he has taken this new life, as it were, in stride. He is not invulnerable. He does not have super strength, super speed, or anything else we can tell. He's still just a man in his 50s with heartburn and a dicky knee that acts up when it rains. But he always comes back. He settles his pint mug on the table, bringing me back to the conversation.
"They must have known I was on their trail. Damn, maybe I can come up with a disguise and check it out."
Ever since the first time it happened, he has treated this new gift like he was an aging, avenging angel. He had no ties before and a shitty job working at a mortgage company. Now, he spends his time tracking down what he classes as bad guys and takes them out. Not to dinner, he has learned a terrifying amount of ways someone can be killed, usually firsthand. But he is relentless. Sure, they can kill him, but he always comes back for them, again and again. He has called so many different names on the streets, mostly knockoff superhero names. He's become the stuff of legends. Most of the gangs have cleared out, and it's usually enough when someone finds out that Mikey's on their trail. No one wants to be constantly looking over their shoulder for an old man shuffling determinedly towards them.
"Thanks again. I'm best be off. Need to keep it up now they know I found him,"
Mikey says as he finishes his pint. I watched him lever himself up. He was getting slower and older every time. Nodding his thanks to me, he wanders out the door, a steel-toed, flamboyant pirate avenging angel. Left alone, my thoughts turn to the same place they had for quite some time now. Sure, he was doing good work, I think. But what happens when he dies of old age? Does he keep coming back just to die again? I shake myself and raise my pint. To Mikey. May he avenge forever. That was Mikey. I hope you liked it. The core of the story came from me idly thinking to myself one day that isn't it really lucky that all the people who end up with superpowers are generally young, incredibly hot people? I know why it happens in stories, but what if that crotchety old man who shakes his fist at clouds and bemoans how his leg doesn't work the way it used to? "My leg, it drags." What if he got powers? I really like the mental image of this old guy. Not super strength or speed or anything, just he never stays dead. He bursts into the bad guy's hideout, smacks a few dudes around. They of course kill him. He's an old guy. They make jokes about how grandpa should go have a lie down and a nap. Then the next day, he shows up again, takes down one more guy with him. The group's getting really freaked out. They know they killed him. What the hell is going on with this old guy? The next night, he comes back again. No smack talk, no bullshit. He just comes in and starts killing. There is no way that they're gonna stick around after that. Maybe he dies this time, maybe he doesn't. He thinks to himself, job well done, time to move on to the next problem. He wouldn't get around in spandex or a special outfit. He gives no shits, he has a job to do, and since death means nothing to him, why would he care what he looks like? With no real income, he's not taking a cereal sponsorship. He wears whatever he can. He would die many, many times. So of course, he would make friends with the morgue tech, as he would be the one to find him awake each time. I really liked writing their interaction. You have to be a certain type of person to work in a morgue anyway. It's not for everyone, so he rolls with it once he's used to this cranky old guy constantly coming back to life in his morgue. He doesn't rat him out either. He's seen too much death go unpunished. Not sure if I want to write more in this story. It feels tight, tells what it wants to. I wanted to leave it open so people could fill in the blanks with their own ideas. I briefly played with writing up a scene where Mikey is working, being the geriatric avenging angel, but I found that no matter how I wrote it, the idea in my head never survived making it to paper. It lost its heart somewhere. Not sure why, but that happens sometimes. Especially with the slice of life pieces I write. I have another in this style coming up in a few episodes, and I found the same thing. I was happy with the piece, I just didn't want to write any more in that story. Going over it again, I don't think there's much I'd want to change. Probably flesh out the bar scene more and their interaction, as I really enjoyed putting those two together. However, I tried and it felt forced. I think because Mikey is so single-minded, he's up and functioning, so it's time for him to head off again and do what only he feels he can. Well, that's all for this week. Don't forget, I have a Patreon up if you want to throw some support my way. You can find the details on my website, davewrites.com. That's Dave, WRIGHTS.com. Hopefully I'll see you all next week. Take care.